Susan McLaughlin here with the Align for Health podcast. If you're living in chronic pain or are just interested to learn how people have successfully gotten themselves out of pain, this is the podcast for you. Tune in to listen to interviews of everyday people taking steps toward a pain-free life. Today I have the pleasure to interview David McCoy. David's a fellow restorative exercise specialist, and I got to meet him recently during the restorative exercise certification week in the Netherlands. We had a chat about his experience and journey out of pelvic pain on our commute one morning, and I was so fascinated and inspired by him, I wanted more people to hear about his success. David, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Susan. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Great. So, first off, I just wanted... I was hoping that you could just share a little bit about your story. We were talking a little bit before we put on the record, just the story of everything that you went through. So can you just share a little bit about when this started for you, this pelvic pain started for you, what were some of your symptoms, and what were some of the treatments that you did along the way?
Okay, yeah, so pelvic pain started for me when I was 19. I was actually in Vancouver at the time. I was working out there. Just got a student job out there for the summer in between semesters. And really, life was going well for me, really. I was very happy. Played a lot of sport. And I noticed this sort of mild pain in the penis, actually. And it was kind of like there sometimes, and it would disappear. And then we went to Chicago, and we got a Greyhound bus to Toronto. And when I got off that bus, it was really, I remember the pain was really quite intense. And then what made it worse, we hadn't really booked a hostel. We were walking around Toronto with backpacks, trying to find a place at a hostel. And I remember that day that the pain was really quite severe. I got the plane home back to England, and it was still there. So I went to the urologist, and originally I thought it was maybe an infection. Mm-hmm. But all the tests came back negative, which is a story you hear time and time again with guys with pelvic pain. And when it eventually got diagnosed with prostatitis,
okay,
which obviously leads you down the route of seeing urologists
right,
over and over. It wasn't much help. I tried a variety of different treatments. When you ask what sort of treatments I've tried, I had pelvic pain for 14 years. So like I said on my website, if you name it, I've tried it, to be quite honest. So I flew out to Italy, had prostate injections, headed in the pelvis clinic, myofascial physical therapy, and eventually on to having pudendal nerve surgery 3 times, which didn't work. Uh-huh. Eventually found the blog of Katie Bowman, Katie Says, started reading it, very skeptical at the time, and then read more and more, it made more sense, and I started my sort of journey with restorative exercise and getting better with it. And it's been a remarkable sort of transformation in my life. I mean, I've got not only pain-free now, I've even gone on to make a career out of it.
Right.
And I've trained in restorative exercise and I'm helping other people. So, yeah, it's been an incredible experience for me.
Right. So that, to me, that is fascinating. I think, as I work with people with pelvic pain myself, one thing that I see is... they're coming to me after going through, like you said, treatments and treatments and treatments and treatments, and nothing has helped them. So I just wanted to get inside your head a little bit. What do you feel was important for you to not give up? How did you keep from giving up, or did you give up, and how was that emotional ride for you?
Oh yeah, I mean, I just kind of endured it, really. Like everyone, you just keep going somehow. But when I found the blog of Katie Bowman, I definitely described myself as suicidal, because at that time I had 3 pudendal nerve surgeries. I've got no sacrotuberous ligament. A piriformis muscle on both sides is being resected, so I've got no piriformis muscle effectively on either side, and I just didn't see a way out of it, really. I thought I'd tried absolutely everything. And you just kind of keep going, but I was just kind of enduring life. I wasn't enjoying my life. I was just getting by. Mm-hmm. I wasn't in a job I liked because I found it very difficult to sit down. I couldn't sit down at all. I couldn't really drive long distances. And so just kind of keep going. But no, I was very depressed, incredibly depressed. So, you know, pelvic pain is really affects your sense of self, your self-esteem, your confidence, affects your way you see yourself sexually.
Yeah.
And so it's a devastating condition to have, really.
It is, David. And I just wanted to just dive a little bit more into pelvic pain. So a lot of times people will say they have pelvic pain, and, you know, honestly, like in one of the books that I have, really, the pelvis is defined as anything from the torso down to the knees. So pelvic pain really is a broad diagnosis, I guess. So if you can just get a little specific, and I want to go back a little bit because you said you had 3 pudendal nerve surgeries, and I know there are a lot of people who like you, they want to get better, and so they're going to do anything. So they hear, you know, that surgery, it sounds like the cure. Well, it sounds sexy. It sounds like it's going
to
help.
Yeah, well, my opinion of pudendal nerve surgery, to be blunt, maybe is that it's a surgery that routinely fails. If you're considering having pudendal nerve surgery, go onto any pudendal nerve forum and ask yourself how many people are actually getting better with this surgery.
Right.
And also, I think we should appreciate that the only statistics we have on pudendal nerve surgery are produced by the surgeons that perform the surgery.
Right.
The same surgeons that profit from the surgery. I'm not saying they're wrong, the studies, but that factor should be taken into account when assessing the evidence of pudendal nerve surgery.
And one thing that I found so fascinating when we were having our conversation is, it's just crazy. You were saying that your the photos of your butt, the photos of your surgery, were on the pelvic pain conference as a success. You're in a book as a success.
I haven't divulged that before, but you're right. That's a good one. That's true. That did happen. I would be skeptical of information coming from some pudendal nerve surgeons. I mean, you have one YouTube video you can watch, and there's a surgeon on there. I won't name names, but they're claiming a 95% good to excellent results. Well, I'm sorry, if any surgeon was getting that result, every single pudendal nerve surgeon would be traveling day in to learn his technique, and everyone would be getting better.
Right.
And again, that's a study produced by that surgeon. So we need independent studies on pudendal nerve surgery, to be fair. So I'm highly critical of it. I've had it 3 times. I don't believe it works. Yes, you'll find a few success stories on forums, but I think it's a reasonable comment to say that the failures of pudendal nerve surgery far outweigh the success stories.
Mm-hmm. It seems like it's important to also really be able to see what was a definition of success.
Absolutely. And yes, you're right. So some pudendal nerve surgery studies will say that a reduction of 3 points in the visual analog score is a success. But say if you have 10 out of 10 pain going to that surgery and it goes down to 7 out of 10, you will be classified as a success. But is 7 out of 10 pain for the rest of your life a success as the patient sees it?
Right.
I think when people read studies like that, they instantly see the word success and think, oh, that means cure.
Right.
That means you've got completely recovered. But that's not what success is defined as. So I am pretty outspoken on my views, but, you know, I've been through it. It's an incredibly painful surgery to go through. Mm-hmm. Your glutes are completely severed right through. And I think what's disappointing to me is that people try myofascial physical therapy, and sometimes that doesn't work. And then you'll go down the route of believing that maybe this is a nerve problem.
Right.
Maybe my nerve's entrapped, which is what happened to me. And I became quite obsessed with the idea of pudendal nerve entrapment. And it's a seductive idea that there's a surgery that can just go in there, decompress it, and after 2 years, all your pain will kind of gently subside. And it doesn't really happen. And I don't think you can isolate just one nerve as the cause for pelvic pain. That's the problem.
Right.
Yes, pudendal nerve, undoubtedly it's involved. But as I found out with restorative exercise, you know, your whole body is contributing towards the tension in your pelvic floor.
Exactly.
The same can be said, I think there's too much focus, actually, on the pelvic floor.
I agree.
You know, we call it pelvic floor dysfunction. Uh-huh. And what I came to realize in my recovery with restorative exercise is that actually my pelvic floor, in a sense, wasn't dysfunctional. It was responding perfectly appropriately to the way that I was using my body.
Wonderful.
It was just doing what it was told in a way.
Right.
You know, pelvic floor dysfunction gives us the idea that your pelvic floor suddenly sort of becomes sick.
Right.
And kind of turned against you.
Right.
That's not really what's happening.
Right. Right. So you, and I want to go back to the symptoms. So you were experiencing pain with sitting. Initially, you said that you were having penile pain. Did it affect your, a lot of times?
That was the first symptom. It took a while for the other pain to come on. Like, it was just, originally it was just penile pain.
Okay.
And then it spread, like, to my legs, my perineum, and to my abdomen. So, like, by the time I found Katie Says, the blog, I had pain, like, everywhere down the back of my legs. I couldn't even wear a pair of jeans because the pressure of the jeans was too much on my skin. As soon as I put jeans on, it would just burn unbelievably. So it was like I had allodynia as well, like too much sensitivity to pressure.
Right.
That was going on as well.
Another thing that when I was looking at your website, David, and we'll talk about your business and your website toward the end, you mentioned that you were having some digestive problems. You were bloating. You were. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, yeah, I was bloating very badly all the time after I ate, which is very common in pelvic pain. I kind of went down the diet route for a long time. I was trying all sorts of different types of diets. I was cutting out my carbs and boiling up bone broth all the time and stuff like that. It didn't work. And then I think it's to do more with your core muscles and your tight psoas muscle very often, this digestion problem. And really, like I said on my website, it's the role of high pressure in your abdomen. And again, I think that's what makes restorative exercise a little bit different from other approaches, that it's appreciating the forces that your muscles are responding to.
Exactly.
So there's little point, really, just going after muscles all of the time if you don't appreciate the forces which your muscles are reacting to. So fix that first, and then the muscles will respond by relaxing.
So let's go. Is there anything else that you wanted to share about some of the other some of the other symptoms that you had? Were you experiencing any difficulty starting your stream of urine or anything like that?
I had probably urinary frequency at the start. At the start, I had urinary frequency, and it got to the point though when I always felt like I needed the toilet, so I just kind of ignored it because that signal was always there.
Okay.
So what was the point in just keeping going? So I kind of ignored it after a while. I got to the point where I couldn't sit down. I had terrible burning pain on the back of my thighs, like really, especially around the ischial tuberosity area, you know, around there. So actually, at one of my surgeries as well, I got 50% of my adductor magnus cut away as well because of that pain. That didn't work either. I was getting really desperate with the pain, and it was just destroying my life, really. So at the age of 30, I became very depressed because I think when you hit 30, you kind of assess your life and think, you know, where is it going?
Right.
But being like over 10 years then of pain, that's when I started looking into general nerve surgery. I kind of had my first general nerve surgery at the age of 30. And then it kind of got obsessed with the idea, like I say, of PNE, and had it done 3 times. I don't know, I didn't learn my lesson off the first surgery, really. But that's how it's told to you, that maybe the nerve isn't trapped somewhere else, so let's try this, you know. And by that point, I'd had 6 years of myofascial physical therapy as well.
Right, so. Right. So for the time that you found that blog, was it a specific blog that you found, or were you just going searching online for information for self-care?
I was looking by that point after the surgeries, I wasn't really looking at mainstream approaches to pelvic pain, because I tried it all, so what was the point in looking there again? You know, so I was like looking at very much more alternative treatments. So one guy I got interested in a lot and read all of his books is a guy called Paul Check.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a personal trainer in California, holistic health. And so I read his book and actually brought one of his courses. So I was kind of convinced that I had kind of maybe worked this out by myself at this point, because I wasn't getting the answers I wanted from the mainstream routes. So I bought his course, Scientific Core Conditioning, and he spoke a lot about the psoas muscle. The psoas muscle was kind of touched on in some pelvic pain books, but not much focuses on it. It's kind of briefly mentioned. But he, a lot of his work focused on the sewers. So I started Googling the sewers. And of course, Katie Bowman, very interested in the sewers muscle, a lot of her work focused on it. So it came up, Katie Bowman.
Okay.
Started reading her blog. I thought, yeah, this is different. It didn't really scream out at me, this works for male pelvic pain.
Okay.
It was mainly talking about female pelvic floor dysfunction. Uh-huh. But it was what I liked about Katie's work and what I said on my website is that it was totally different from what I'd read before. It was a different approach, and that is what I was crying out for. Right. I didn't want the same old approach of, you know, trigger point, connective tissue. I wanted something different. And so just shortly after that, she was on a radio show I listened to called The Underground Wellness, Croxton.
Exactly.
And in that show, she actually spoke more about male pelvic floor dysfunction. So after that show, I was kind of sold on it, and I thought, wow, this is interesting. She spoke very well. I like the fact, in a way, that the blog was for free as well. It was just, here's my ideas,
right.
Read it free.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't really asking for my money in any way. And then at the time, there was only one person in the UK trained in restorative exercise. So a woman called Jeanette Lauren.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and so unfortunately, she's in Glasgow. I'm in the south of England.
Okay.
I really couldn't keep going up for sessions, so I couldn't sit down. So right. I booked 3 whole days with Jeanette Lauren. So my first restorative exercise session lasted 6 hours. That was a lot to take in, but it was good. I got all these exercises, and then kind of started. I noticed after about a month that, yeah, this is actually having some effect. This is actually, I saw a lot of pain, but there's some changes going on.
Can I just interrupt a second, David?
Yeah.
What were you noticing that was different?
The tension in my hamstrings.
Okay.
My hamstrings like guitar strings. They're like rope-type ropes, like cords. And they kind of used to ache incessantly. I noticed a little bit of improvement there. A little bit of reduction in pelvic pain. I felt more comfortable wearing the barefoot shoes. So I brought barefoot shoes, everything, even for work. I was wearing barefoot shoes.
Okay.
But I still kind of... I had all these exercises there. I didn't really know what order to do them in, how long I should do them for. And so that's why I decided to buy the course.
Great.
And at the time, I had no intention of training in this, no intention at all. I just thought, I'm going to buy this so I can work out how to apply this information to my own body. And so that sort of next 10 months, I was experimenting by trying all the stuff in the course, how long I should walk for, how long should I squat for, and kind of just worked out the solution for me. And it was pretty remarkable. Then I thought, right, wow, this is pretty amazing, this treatment. I'm going to train in it. And went out to California in Ventura. So I'm qualified.
Okay, David. So from start to finish, when you started doing the exercises with Jeanette and then through your certification, and when you did your certification and you actually completed it, were you out of pain then?
Pretty much, yeah. I had some aches and pains, but I pretty much got my life back. I'm pretty much most of the time pain-free. Maybe a bit more tension, but yeah, it took me about 10 months of hard, but I was obsessive about it.
Okay.
So I kind of saw restorative exercise, right, this is my way out of this hell. I'm going to seize this opportunity in my life to do it. So I was walking, I even went on to like walking barefoot, and I still kind of walk barefoot from my hometown now, go through the woods and then walk. Go and get a coffee barefoot. So I'm really obsessive about restorative exercise, to be honest, but that's because it's given my life back. So
exactly.
I really went for this. I was doing like, my whole life revolved around restorative exercise for those 10 months. You know, I sometimes come in from work late at 10 o'clock, but I'd make sure I'd go for a 2-hour walk before I went to bed and go to bed late so I can get a walk in, stuff like that. Because the walking is really helping me, the regular walks. Obviously, I changed the way that I walk, which is part of restorative exercise.
Right.
And now I think, you know, the walking is a huge part of it. The problem you have with, like, selling the walking part to people is that in a kind of age of Botox, MRIs, pudendal nerve surgery, when you come along and say, well, maybe walking regularly will really help your pelvic floor, people are slightly incredulous that it could help. But if you can change your walk and start to work, walk with like a posterior push-off, but you get tremendous results with your pelvic floor.
Right. One thing that I just want to add here, when David's talking about posterior push-off, that is not possible on a treadmill. So this isn't getting going to the gym or going in your basement and getting on a treadmill. This is going outside with different types of terrain and getting out and walking.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I mean, if you walk over rough terrain, it makes a massive difference.
Yeah.
But again, I've had clients tell me, oh, Dave, you know, that sounds so alternative and out there, and you tell me to go out and walk in nature, which I appreciate. It does sound a bit alternative, but it makes a huge difference, and there is a reason for that, because you're varying each step, you're waking up more muscles by walking over rough terrain, you're getting your feet woken up as well. So yeah, it does make a huge difference. You need to do it in a way. You need to walk outside in nature to really get the benefits.
Yeah. So you were walking a ton. Tell me a little bit about the exercise program for you. How much time were you spending in the movements and the stretches?
Probably about 3 to 4 hours a day.
Okay.
It's a lot. But that's what. But the thing is, a lot of my clients do that as well. I tell them to do it. So like one guy got better within, and he was thinking about having pudendal nerve surgery. He's actually mentioned that on a YouTube video on my website. And he did it in about 4 or 5 months. But again, a kind of personality that was unbelievably committed and dedicated to getting better. And he came from a very kind of a fitness background before that. So he kind of took that mentality to restorative exercise and was doing it all the time. And there's videos on my forum of him climbing trees now and barefoot walks. So I think, you know, restorative exercise, you know, if you put the hours in, you will get your reward. But sometimes it's boring. I mean, sometimes a calf stretch is pretty dull.
Yeah.
But if you do it enough, you're going to get a pain-free body, and what's better than that, you know?
Right. Well, I know in my personal experience, having chronic back pain and SI dysfunction for 10 years, when you're able to get yourself out of pain through the movements, through the restorative exercise, and like you said, it's like really, really understanding how you're moving and using your body every single day and how that's putting you into the situation that you are right now. It's very easy to become a cheerleader, and I am a cheerleader for the self-care move and do something differently. So how do you approach it when you have these clients contacting you and just say, I don't have time?
Well, you have to make time, really. You don't have to make time. I actually put my Freedom from Pelvic Pain Facebook page, an Arnold Schwarzenegger video about this, a short clip, how you have to make time to work out, and really you have to do the same with restorative exercise. If you want to get better, yeah, you have to try and schedule in walks in your day. And to be fair, the guy I just mentioned who got better, he was working two jobs, so he made time to get better. Uh-huh. I know it's tough. I mean, I suppose in some respects it depends. If you've got a family life, if you're a mum and has got kids, yeah, you've got to be a bit sympathetic. You know, you haven't got as much time to do it. But a lot of the guys I see are, you know, early 20s, 30s. So they can make the time. And to be honest, most guys do. Most guys are so desperate to get better. I haven't really had anyone say, oh, I've got time, Dave, to do it, because they're desperate to get better. In a way, I think pelvic pain is the perfect population for restorative exercise, because they're the people that are prepared to do it. Right. Like, say, I work in the gym, so sometimes I might get someone working with shoulder pain. So if I say, maybe you should get rid of your furniture or stop using your furniture, they're going to say, well, that sounds a bit too extreme for a bit of shoulder pain.
Right.
If you take a guy who's got terrible pelvic pain, sexual dysfunction, and say, stop using your furniture, they just say, okay, I'll do it. And there's no question that they're going to do it. So, you know, this patient population is ideal for it, because they are going to put the hours in. And I've got two clients now that have built monkey bars in their back garden. You know, they're totally into it, you know. Mm-hmm. All of them, they're all wearing barefoot shoes the whole time for work and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So for you, it sounds like you were at a place when you found this that it just, you wanted something different. So you had that change in your mindset already. I want something different.
Yeah, because I knew that the other stuff didn't work. Well, for me, it didn't work.
Yeah. Literally, David, you tried everything. That's.
I mean, I even went to America for a while. I lived in America to see a physical therapist out there for a long while with a friend from England, and neither of us got better. But we tried it. We had tried it all. Yeah, I've had Botox. I think Botox is a weird treatment for pelvic floor dysfunction myself. I think Botox is kind of like based on the idea that you can make something that is dysfunctional functional by making it even more dysfunctional by paralyzing a muscle.
Yeah.
I don't think the body really works like that. Yeah. You can't just isolate one muscle and think, okay, if we paralyze that muscle,
right,
everything's going to get better. Again, it just doesn't work like that, you know?
No.
And there's little evidence to support the use of Botox for pelvic floor dysfunction, actually. There's right. hardly any.
Right. Yeah. So you were ready for something different. And I remember you saying something like, what you said when you read this information was, it made sense to you.
It did, but I've got to be honest, I was still skeptical when I first read it. I didn't go, wow, it's Katie Bowman. I just thought, this person thinks they've worked out pelvic floor dysfunction. And so I like what I was reading, but there was that resistance to it. Like, there have been so many false dawns before that I found it hard to believe that someone did have different ideas, you know, and could get it better.
Yeah.
So there were times when I was doing my walking at the start, wearing my Vibrams and stuff, and I thought, this is crazy. How is this going to work? But I kept doing it, and I saw the changes. So, yeah.
So these internal pressures that you were talking about earlier, I kind of want to go back to that a little bit, David, because, you know, with these internal pressures, you know, you were having all these different symptoms with pelvic pain, digestion. Can you speak a little bit about that? When you started to notice it unraveling, was it something that you consciously, like sometimes I'll have this conversation with people just about letting, you know, getting their body in alignment and letting their muscles relax. So a lot of times people aren't even realizing that when they're just standing up or in sitting, that there's even unconscious contraction, not just resting tension in a muscle. There's unconscious contraction in a muscle. Did you find that about yourself? Like, did you realize that you were maybe holding in your abdominal wall or tightening your glutes or your quads?
I was holding it in. I think a weird thing about my abdominal wall was I was also kind of bracing it as well.
Uh-huh.
I was like holding it. Yeah, I was holding it quite tight. That helped a bit. Although, to be honest, I've done a lot of sort of pelvic floor relaxation stuff before I found restorative exercise. I've done all that. I've done loads of meditation, progressive muscle relaxation, paradoxical relaxation. I've done all that of just letting go.
Okay.
And to be perfectly honest, my pelvic floor relaxed when I got my glutes and hamstrings to work properly.
Wonderful.
So I think there's too much focus on this relaxation. I don't think pelvic floor dysfunction, it's not a relaxation problem, it's a muscle activation problem. I think the pelvic floor is tight because other muscles aren't doing their job. You know, they're not working very well. It's like most people I see, their glutes aren't working very well, their hamstrings are really tight, their feet are tight. When you get those things to start working again, the pelvic floor relaxes anyway. So I'm not a huge fan of all this stuff when they say relax your pelvic floor. It just tightens right back up again.
Right, right. That's such a great point, David. I'm really glad to hear you say that because, you know, when I work with people and I just have them bring awareness to their breath and as they breathe in, they, you know, just to notice what their pelvic floor.
The breathing helps. So there's a Katie Bowman's advice on breathing.
Yeah.
Runs completely contrary to what you're reading in pelvic floor books.
Yeah.
Complete opposite.
Yeah.
You're told to breathe your intercostal muscles, where pelvic floor books will tell you to breathe deeply right down into your pelvis, mm-hmm. using your diaphragm. That is a little bit different with restorative exercise. And that helped me a lot to breathe using my intercostals.
Mm-hmm. So what I find interesting is people will say, you know, I can relax. I can have that awareness, but it just
pulls back up again.
And so I really appreciate you emphasizing just being able to get the other muscles working because, you know,
it meant it will relax anyway. That's what I found.
All right.
If you do a lot of squatting, do a lot of walking, and then especially the hanging, I think the hanging is a huge part of getting better, developing the strength, and you're working your core eccentrically then. And that was a big part of me. And again, that's a radically different thing, restorative exercise. No one's recommending hanging on monkey bars.
No.
Any pelvic floor books. That's completely different. That's, again, I think that's what people are crying out for, most pelvic pain patients. They want something that's different. Everyone that comes to see, my story might seem extreme, but to be honest, everyone that comes to see me, they've already tried myofascial physical therapy.
Right.
They've done that first.
Right.
I don't get any clients that haven't tried that first. And I've got some clients that have done pudendal nerve surgery as well. So that's what most people I think want a different approach. I'm not saying those other approaches don't always work. I accept there are success stories. I'm not on, but we can't just say to people that have failed by those sort of treatments, oh, well, you've got this for the rest of your life then.
Right.
And, you know, so I was diagnosed eventually with, like, central sensitization by a top doctor in the UK. And just given, like, you know, Lyrica, told to do cognitive behavioural therapy. But I was only 30 at the time, and I don't think at 30 you can really accept that diagnosis. Oh, well, it's just central sensitization, nothing can be done, you'll be in pain for the rest of your life. Yeah, it's a very depressing diagnosis to get, and you're bound to look for other options, which is what I did with pudendal nerve surgery.
Right. And I think I find your story fascinating, and I know that what I see with you is a motivation to really do something different and to not accept these diagnoses, to not accept, you know, this the pain medication or the, you know, the pain to subside some of the nerve pain for you. It really, really seems like it comes down to that self-actualization or that self-drive to really make a difference and to really make a change. And, you know, sometimes I would imagine that having pain for so long that it almost can be defeating. So can you speak on that a little bit? Like, what is, I asked you this before, but really what's kind of kept your fuel? I mean, this... It can be, you know, like you said,
I've got a very supportive family.
Yeah.
So I think you need that. When you're going through the journey of restorative exercise, you need someone to say, keep going.
Great.
And I suppose that's part of my role when I work with clients. A lot of the time, it's about motivating people to say, come on, this is going to work. Keep doing your walks. Because it's not an instant treatment. You're not going to go and do a walk and some stretching and feel better the next day. You've got to keep on doing it.
Right.
So, yeah, I definitely had a really great support system. But no, there were times when I felt like giving up. You know, like I said, I thought about suicide a lot. I was very kind of like, I suppose I wasn't completely broken, so I was still looking for answers on the internet. I was still reading Katie Says, I was still reading Paul Check, stuff like that. But there's definitely part of me that I had enough of life. And I think if someone said to me, you might die tomorrow, I'd probably go, well, okay, because I've kind of had enough. I mean, there's so much pain, and I'm also being told that there's no way out. But, no, so I don't want to give the sort of impression that I was there, like this incredible, just dealt with it every day and kept going. You know, sometimes I was completely broken by it. But you keep going. So you do find the strength in yourself to keep going. And when you come through pelvic pain, yeah, you are a stronger person, I think, for coming through it. But you ain't for that at the time. So most people, I think, contact me feel very broken by it all. And most people have spent a lot of money on different treatments. They haven't got much money left. So, you know, you're dealing with a population of people that are very depressed. Understandably so. And it's almost impossible not to be depressed if you've got constant pelvic pain.
Yeah. So let's talk about your business a little bit, David. You were saying you got certified. You really initially, when you took the course, this really was for you. This was nothing to do with you wanting to take it to... work with other people. So tell me a little bit about your business and who are the clients who come to you.
I bought a course. Just thing like it was straight back. You can just buy the course. You don't necessarily have to qualify and go out there to California and qualify. But obviously, after completing the course and getting better, I went out to qualify. And then I decided to set the company up. So my website's freedomfrompelvicpain.com. I'm working predominantly with men. Definitely, that's the majority of my client base. But there are some women that come and see me as well. And actually, a few of them have had pudendal nerve surgery as well, so I can empathise with what they've been through. We're getting some great results. So I've had lots of success stories already. My website, and particularly restorative exercise, is getting spoken about now on a lot of male pelvic floor websites and forums.
Right.
Some guys have posted their success stories on there, and I've been very lucky. I've had some great clients, you know, that, you know, again, like me, I suppose, we're just very highly driven to get better, you know, and some of those clients really helped spread the awareness on some of these forums about restorative exercise, so I'm very grateful to them. But yeah, they showed incredible drive to get quick results, so they were wearing the Vibrams the whole time, you know, doing monkey bar work, eventually progressed onto that pretty quickly. I feel that with stoic exercise, in a way, is a bit of an all-or-nothing treatment. You know, you've got to go for it.
Right.
If you just want to do a few stretches a day, not a lot will happen. But if you want to stop using your furniture, you know, go out for your long walks, wear your barefoot shoes, do your stretching, your private lifts, you know, then the magic starts to happen. It's all got to come together, you know. And if you can push people and drive them on, then you will get results for this. But I suppose I'm biased, but I totally believe that if you give your all to restorative exercise, you will get better from pelvic pain.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, David. And I just want to have you say your website again. And also, you see clients in Somerset, England. Is that correct?
Yes, yeah, so I work at the Cadbury Hilton Hotel. So it's a real nice setup there. We've got all the monkey bars outside as well, and the, you know, pull-up bars and stuff like that. So you've got all the facilities there. I do Skype appointments as well. So the website is freedomfrompelvicpain.com. There's also a link on my website to a Facebook forum, because I understand people, when they hear this, they're going to be skeptical, like I was. So you can go onto that forum if you want and ask questions, further questions about restorative exercise. And so that's also moderated by Bruno Maggio, Tim Harris, and Mina Van Bruchot, to pronounce her surname right. And so they're going to answer your questions there as well. You can ask your questions before you kind of book in for a session on there. And just get a discussion going about, really, on there, about how restorative exercise helps. So I should add that after I qualified, I also spent the summer at the Alignment Beach, right, Ventura, the whole summer there, just to sort of up my knowledge and learn a huge amount there from everyone that works there. So I did that as well. And so I came back in September and set the company up in November last year.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
That is so exciting. And what I want to do on the podcast here is I am going to provide links to David's website. I will provide links to the Restorative Exercise Institute. And there you can find people, if they're not in your area, if you want to work with a restorative exercise specialist one-on-one, there is a great practitioner site there that you can see if there's somebody local in your area. But also, as David said, David does Skype sessions, and also there are many restorative exercise specialists who also do Skype.
Yeah, and yourself, of course.
And myself.
Yeah.
And I will put links to my website as well. So, David, is there anything else, if you were to give maybe one, you know, one word of wisdom or one sentence that really can help to motivate somebody who might be in pelvic pain listening today?
Well, I guess I'll just urge people to look into restorative exercise. I mean, you can read the blog, Katie says, for free right now. A lot of my clients like the book Alignment Matters, because you've got a whole chapter there, the pelvic floor and what gets stacked on it, mm-hmm. that chapter there. Mm-hmm. So that's a very quick way of understanding the approach of restorative exercise to pelvic pain. And, you know, my advice is that no matter how sort of desperate you are, I'm someone that tried everything. I thought I'd tried it all, and I managed to get better. And so I don't see why the same can't happen to other people, really. And this is a completely different approach to pelvic pain that I would urge anyone to investigate.
Well, great. Thank you so much for your time today, David.
Thanks so much. Yeah, it's great.